have, it's about doing what's right. Can you say amen? So that we can help somebody, that we can serve. And you know, we were doing a broadcast this past Tuesday night. We have, as I mentioned here before, we have a broadcast that we do every Tuesday night live by internet. And you know, people from the Philippines, people from India and different places, they watch our broadcast. And I had a theme this past week of when things seem impossible. Well, you know, right now, there's many impossible looking things in our nation and in our world. And in a lot of families, they have a lot of impossible things going on. But you know, God is a possible God. God does the impossible. And you know, I hadn't heard the old song for years and years and hadn't even thought about it. But right before I went to that broadcast, out of the clear, out of nowhere, the song that I hadn't heard of or thought of for years began to go through my mind. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you cannot tunnel through? God specializes in things impossible and does those things that no other can do. Anybody in this room, do you remember that song? And maybe you that are home, you might remember that song. Well, the Bible says all things are possible to them that believe. And I want you to know, when God called me, I was a nobody. I hadn't been anywhere. But God called me and he told me, he said, I want you to go all over the world and preach and proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I didn't know anybody. I knew my pastor. I knew my family. I had a few little friends and some in school. But I didn't know anybody. All I knew was to do what God told me to do. But you know what? God put it in my heart to make a difference. When he called me, he put it in my heart to make a difference in somebody's life. And on our broadcast this past Tuesday night, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but on our broadcast this past Tuesday night, I had a guest with me, and he's a Hispanic pastor from over in South Dallas. And he came to Texas with his father, his family, and went to Bible school down at Bobby Crow's Bible School down in Mexico. And actually, he thought he was from Mexico, and he thought he was going to go back to Mexico and start a church from the place where he was from. But God said, no, I want you to start the church here in the United States. I want you to start the church here. And the Lord had told him, he said, you're going to reach nations. You're going to reach nations. And he thought, well, how could I reach nations just like me? How could I go anywhere? How could I touch anybody? I don't know anybody. I just started making a difference right where I was. Amen. I just started making a difference right where I was. And that's what God wants you to do. Well, this little pastor was sharing on our broadcast Tuesday night. He said, well, you know, pastor said, we just started I didn't even have a home, but I started in my mom's home and my dad's home. And they wasn't even Christians at the time. But we started a church in their house, and they wasn't Christians. He said it was impossible. But, you know, the church began to grow little by little. They got a building, and he was telling the story, when they got a building, it had no electricity. Can you imagine in Dallas, Texas, or Fort Worth, Texas, having church with no electricity? But see, he didn't know it was impossible. He knew God was possible. He knew God would make a difference, and he wanted to make a difference. And that's what I hope that I can impress upon your mind tonight. No matter what your age may be, whether you're young or whether you're older, it doesn't matter. God still has something good on the inside of you for you to give to someone else and make a difference to somebody. Amen. Well, you know, he began to share how that they started this church and they began to grow, and they got up maybe to close to a couple of hundred, and they finally, there was a beauty parlor next to them, and they finally let them bootleg a little bit of electricity over there with them so they could get their sound system and their lights on, but they still didn't. But little by little, I mean, the story goes on, but finally the building burnt down that they were renting. The building burnt down after they got a PA system and after they got somewhere. And then all at once, he said, so many people left. And he said, I didn't know hardly what to do. But I just kept on. We would rent something here. We'd rent something there. We'd rent something here. We'd rent something there. And he said, but we had a few people left. But he said, finally, I stopped to pray. And when I stopped to pray, God began to talk to me. He said he sent somebody that was driving down the road and stopped to pray for me. And when he did, we stopped to pray for me. He said, he told me God was going to give me the keys. And he said, the next thing I knew, I was driving down, and he told the name of the street over in South Dallas. He was riding down the road. And there was I believe it was a Lutheran church, and he pulled in there, and he asked them, he said, would you let me rent this church on Sunday? And they said, no. And he said, I went 30 times, and they said, no, 30 times. But finally, one day they called me and said, would you like to rent this church? Well, you see, he made a difference because he didn't give up when the going got hard, when the going got tough. See, many times we don't make a difference because we say, what good will it do? People have said no. There's mountains, there's valleys, there's hardships, there's trials. But he kept on, and he began to rent that building. Well, they wanted to sell the building, but he said, we didn't have any money. We didn't have any money to buy it. And so we would talk to them about it and talk to them, but they kept telling us no. And no, no, but finally one day they said, we've decided to sell you the building. Now they have the building. The building's full. They have great services. They're doing great things for God because he decided he wanted to make a difference. I believe it's time you and me make up in our mind that we're going to make a difference in this world. Amen. You know, we need to let our mouth have good words. You know, James said, sweet water and bitter water doesn't come from the same fountain. He said, blessings and curses doesn't come from the same mouth. So you and I, our words every day, we need to get up and say, I make a difference. I'm bringing change. I'm bringing change in this world. I'm standing. I'm bold. I'm going to do something for God. I am going to. How many can say that today? You know, Charlie, how many was it this week? 400 and something? 400 and something, 480 something, I believe it's 480 something people. Somebody went out and made a difference. Now, you know what? That hadn't changed the world, but it changed somebody's life. See, you may not change the world by yourself, but you can change a life. Somebody changed my life. Somebody touched my life. Somebody touched your life. Somewhere somebody showed you kindness and love. You know, I read a story about a pastor and that always wore a little carnation on his coat in church every Sunday morning. And one day a little boy came to church on Sunday morning, and after the service was over, the little boy was just 10 or 11 years old, and he asked the pastor, he said, would you mind if I ask you, and he's kind of embarrassed, and he said, would you give me the carnation on your lapel? And the pastor said, "Why, son, sure, but why do you want my carnation?" He said, "Well, you see, my mom and dad got divorced, and not long after we got divorced, she remarried, and the man she married didn't like me, and so mama told me to go live with daddy. And so I went over to live with daddy, and daddy just told me he didn't have time for me and he didn't have time to raise me. So he sent me over to my grandmother, and my grandmother loves me, and my grandmother has given me a place to stay, and my grandmother gives me food. She buys me clothes, and she helps me with my schoolwork." And said, "I just love my grandmother," and said, "I just wanted to take that carnation to my grandmother and tell her how much I loved her and show her by giving her a little carnation." And the preacher said, "Well, son, that's a big deal." He said, "Don't take my carnation. Go up there at the pulpit and get that whole bouquet of flowers and take them to your grandmother." He said, "Well," he said, what a day, Pastor. I came and I just asked for a carnation and I got a bouquet of flowers." He said, "I'll be back next week." So you see, you never know what you can do to touch someone's life. You know, the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10 in the Living Bible, I like the translation there. It said, "It is God himself who has made us who we are and given us new lives from Christ Jesus as long ages ago. He planned that we should spend these lives helping others. He planned long ago that we should spend our life helping others." You know, I just mentioned that I grew up in a town, and the street, and the girl across the street from us, how she's born again. She got baptized in the Holy Spirit, but she said it was all because my mother made a difference in her life. Well, I want to have testimonies when I get to heaven. Do you want to have testimonies when you get to heaven? Not just something for me, but I want to make a difference. I want to keep someone out of hell. 400 and something people prayed that prayer this week because somebody made a difference. God is saying to us today, we can change our world one person at a time. See, no matter what happens in our government, if we'll stand strong and we'll be bold and we'll do what God told us to do, we can begin to change lives. He said again, let me read it. It is God Himself who made us who we are and has given us new life. We've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. We live in this world, of course, but one day these old bodies is going to go back to dust. They're going to go back to the dirt. One day Jesus is going to come. He's going to split the sky. And when He does, we're going to be caught away if we're here. One day we're going to leave this world. One day it's going to be over. You don't hear a lot of preaching about that no more, hardly anymore. The preaching is about here and now and what we can get. That's all okay. But folks, one day this race is going to be run. One day this race is going to be over. And what are you doing in this race? Are you doing your part? Are you doing what God told you to do? Amen. Every day, do what God wants you to do. See, God wants you to make a difference in the lives of the people around you, your neighbors. See, most people today don't even know their neighbors. You know, it's a world we live here, the world we live in today. You know, people work, they get stressed out, they come home, they have their garage door open, or they pull in the garage door goes down, they have a fence, and they're in their home. They don't even know. Most people today don't even know who lives next door to them. It's the world we live in. But you know what? I remember when I grew up, life was simple. Life wasn't complex. My neighbors was the ships on one side. And then on the other side, we had the Whalens on the next side. And then I could go on down for two or three blocks, and I could tell you the names of all of our neighbors. And I remember our neighbors. I remember our neighbors coming over sometimes and borrowing a cup of flour. I remember our neighbors sometimes coming and borrowing a couple of eggs. I remember going over to our neighbors and borrowing a couple of eggs myself. Well, you see, I don't know if that even exists in the world that we live in today, because our lives are complex. We have turned into ourselves, but God wants us to make a difference today, not by borrowing a cup of sugar, but knowing someone well enough that they can trust us. Our neighbors trusted us. And I remember when my mother would go to the grocery store, if I borrowed two eggs from my neighbor, I remember going into the egg carton and taking the two eggs back and paying back who I borrowed from. Or our neighbors, if they borrowed from us, they came and paid it back. Well, we didn't really care back in those days whether they paid it back or not, but it was a sense of honor to do what you said that you would do. Folks, I believe we need some people that's got some character, that's got some honor, that will stand up today and say, I am the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ, and I will walk the walk of faith. I will do the will of God. Well, I'm going to try not to get excited here this evening, because I got some things to say that I believe is really important. God wants you to make a difference with your neighbors. He wants you to make a difference in your family. God wants you to make a difference in your family. You know, there was a time in my family when my two sons were away from God. My heart was hurt when my wife and our hearts were hurt when our sons walked away from God. But you know what? Sometimes I wanted to cut their heads off and tell God they died by an accident. But you know, I knew that wasn't what I was supposed to do. I knew I was to love them unconditionally. I loved them unconditionally, and I kept loving them unconditionally. God brought our sons back to Him. Today, they're serving God. Isn't that awesome? Today they're serving God because I made a difference. Instead of being angry and allowing what they were doing to get me to be angry at them, I decided I was going to love them in spite of what they did. And you know, I was thinking today, one of the greatest assets that I have in life today is not what I've done around the world and the places that I've been. I'm grateful for that. But I think one of the greatest assets that I have in my life today, my family loves me. My family respects me. My sons, my daughter, my grandchildren, all of them respect me. They know my life. They know how I've lived before them. And to me, that's a great testimony, is having my family trust me and believe in me. And when something's going on, what happens? I get a phone call. Dad, would you pray about this? Would you help me pray about this? See, you can make a difference. So God wants you to make a difference in your neighbors. And he wants you to make a difference in your family. And I believe he wants you to make a difference at work. Now, you don't have to be a preacher at work, but your life can be the preacher. See, sometimes it's not in what you say as much as it is in what you do. And how many times, if you would just do the right thing, would you make a difference in somebody's life? Doing the right thing. Everybody say, I want to do the right thing. See, the Bible said in Luke 10:27, he said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all your strength, and with all your might. Now that's pretty big, isn't it? All your soul, all your strength, and all your might. What are you supposed to do? Love the Lord. And then he said, and your neighbor as yourself. Wow. You shall love the Lord with all of your heart, with all of your strength, with all of your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. See, we don't have time. We don't have time to waste. God wants us to live an unselfish life. He wants us to live an unselfish life, as many of you are doing, going out every week and winning souls to the Lord. Now, don't ever let anybody say anything to you about what you do in a negative realm about that, because you're telling somebody about Jesus. They're praying a prayer that they may never would have prayed if you hadn't have done it. You never know the seed that's going to change someone's life. I'll never forget a woman by the name of Mabel West. I'll never forget Mabel West. She's in heaven. I hadn't seen her, you know, even before she went to heaven, I hadn't seen her in years. But she touched my life when I was in the fifth grade. Mabel West made a difference in my life when I was in the fifth grade. You think I'm too old to remember that far back, maybe. I remember, see, when somebody makes a difference in your life, you never forget. You never forget. And so I've never forgotten how Mabel West, a Sunday school teacher, she was a Sunday school teacher. She cared for me. I remember one morning I went in heartbroken. I don't even know what I was heartbroken about. All I remember was crying and crying and crying. And I went in, and Mabel came over to me, and she gave me a hug. And she said, it's going to be all right. Jesus loves you, and Jesus cares. And she called me on the telephone from time to time, letting me know that she cared about me. I want to tell you something. Going out of your way to show kindness to someone makes a difference. It makes a difference. The Bible said to love the Lord with all of your heart, with all your strength, with all your soul, and your neighbor as yourself. Now, that's a big job. That's a big job. See, if we'll start doing what the Bible says, we can change our world. See, when we go to work, many people go to work to get a pay, and that's normal. But really, you go to work, and if you go to work, the Bible says, whatever you do, do it as unto the Lord. If you go to work and you're realizing, God, I know I'm working for these people or the owner of this company, and I'm doing whatever I'm doing, and do it with love, do it with enthusiasm, do it with all your might. Now, don't be there just for a pay. Somebody said, well, I'm not going to go to work if I'm not going to get paid. I understand that. But go do the best you can as unto the Lord. So as you do it unto the Lord, even if things are not right at work, somehow God will make it right with you because you're doing the right thing. See, too many times at work, we get caught up in the wrong thing. They're not paying me enough. They may not be paying you enough, but if you said yes, if you said yes to the terms, there's no reason to complain. There's no reason to be angry. There's no reason to be mad. Because if you said yes, go in there and do it as unto the Lord. They may not give you a raise, but God will put you somewhere where you can get a raise. God will open a door for you somewhere that's better than where you are. But when you go in with the attitude, I'm just going to do as little as possible so I can get as much as possible. No, that's not the thing that God wants us to do. He wants us to love Him with all of our heart. And when we love Him with all of our heart, we're going to serve somebody else. And so when we go into work on Monday morning, we don't need to go in and say, oh, it's Monday morning. I dread going into work. See, don't let bitter come out of your mouth. See, don't let bitter come out. It's Monday morning. It's Monday morning. I get to go to work today. I get to go to work today. Thank God I have a job to go to. And I'm going to give my best today. I'm going to give my best today. Amen. See, and if you get up and you go in and you're smiling when you go in, instead of walking in, not speaking to anybody, carrying your stuff, dreading the day, feeling sorry for yourself, I got to go to work today. I hate this place. I can't stand this place. And every 10 minutes, you're looking at your watch. And it just doesn't seem to move. The hand just doesn't seem to move. Man, and you're looking at it again. Man, is that all the time it is? And you just keep looking and looking. But you know what? If you start smiling, if you start giving, if you start holding your head up, and if you start loving, and you start being, you're kind, and you start doing things. And even when the grumps come in, and those that you have to deal with at work are not pleasant at all, and you know, instead of getting strife with them, instead of saying things back to them, just start giving them the good thing. Just start smiling and start. Somebody said, oh, you're not for real. Oh, yes, I am for real, because I'm serving the Lord Jesus Christ. And greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. And I'll tell you, if you'll try what I'm talking about, your job would even get better. Amen. I remember a gentleman, I remember him, he come to me and I was preaching like this one time, and he said, Pastor, you just don't know my boss. I said, no, I don't. I really don't. He said, no matter what I do, no matter what I say, he makes it tough on me. He said, we'll get near the end of the day and he'll know it's time to go, but he'll find something else for me to do just to keep me there a little bit longer. I said, is that right? He said, yeah. And he said, man, he said, it's tough. But he said, you know, I don't have anything else. And so not long after that, you know, he came to me and he said, you know, I got another offer, Pastor. I said, you did? He said, yeah. And he began to tell me about the offer. And I said, well, how do you know that boss is going to be any better? How do you know that boss is going to be any better? He said, well, it has to be. And he began to give an explanation. I said, you don't know that that boss is going to be any better. I said, in the front, it's always better, most likely at the front. But I said, you don't know what it's going to be after a little bit of time. I said, why don't you go in and just talk with your boss a little bit and see if you could just share with him how you want to please him and how you want an opportunity to grow in the company and be better at what you do. And you don't want to disappoint him. And he said, he wouldn't even give me a time of the day to do that. I said, have you tried? He said, no. I said, well, instead of taking the offer, why don't you go in and see if you can't improve things there? Well, you know, he went in and he started talking to his boss. And he said, you know, he said, I know we've had a tough time here. But he said, I just really am better at what I do than I've been able to perform. He said, I feel like I can never please you and live up to your expectations. And so if you'll help me, I can help you better. And I want to help this company and I want to help get you promoted in this company. He said, why would you want to help me? He said, well, I just feel like that if you're promoted, then I can be promoted. Well, you know what? He changed his attitude towards this gentleman and began to treat him differently. And the productivity of this gentleman began to increase and increase and increase. And so the boss went and told another boss what happened and how his productivity had changed. Well, the other boss come and got him and promoted him and put him up. Give him more pay. Give him a better position. Give him a better job. You see, and he came back to me and he said, you know, I checked that other job out that I was going to take, Pastor. And he said, I wouldn't be getting paid near what I'm getting paid now if I'd have taken that other job. And he said, and they had some layoffs right after they was going to hire me and I'd have probably been in the layoff. See, just making a difference. Just making a difference. Everybody said, make a difference. Just make a difference. You know, Jesus involved himself in people's lives. He didn't just preach to the crowd. Jesus involved himself in people's lives. See, we can't live in this world. People that live in this world and they don't involve themselves by helping other people are lonely people. People that don't care and don't go and do things for others are lonely people. In Luke 19, we don't have time to turn there, but let me just tell you what happened. In Luke 19, Jesus involved himself. There was a man that had come to hear a minister by the name of Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus climbed the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Well, you know, Zacchaeus wasn't the greatest man of character. He had cheated people out of their taxes. But here he wanted to see Jesus. And somehow Jesus came down from the crowd and said, Zacchaeus, I'm going home with you. Well, you know, he was criticized by the church for going home with Zacchaeus. But he went home and made a difference in Zacchaeus' life. And Zacchaeus said, I'll pay back. I'll pay back what I have cheated the people from their taxes. Jesus got involved personally. He didn't just preach to the crowd. God wants you and me involved in other people's lives in the sense of showing them kindness and showing them love and ministering to them and serving other people. Are you with me tonight? I said, are you with me tonight? Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. There was a widow woman involved in a funeral procession with her son. She was going to bury her son. Don't you know that was a heavy, disappointing, sorrowful time for that widow woman? She'd already lost her husband. Her only son died. Jesus stopped and got involved. And Jesus said, stop right here. Put the coffin down. When they put the coffin down, Jesus prayed and the young boy came back to life again. You said, well, I can't raise the dead. You may not have faith to raise the dead, but you maybe could go to someone that's lost a loved one and show them kindness and show them love. Maybe you could go and stand in the way and say, I love you. You know, don't try to say a lot of words. Don't try to say a lot of words when someone loses a loved one. Let me just give you a little advice here. You know, when our son was killed, I had Christians that come up to me that meant well. And they said stupid things to us a lot of times. They did. They said stupid things to us a lot of times. Sometimes just go and you don't have to say anything when some loved one has been lost by them. Just show them kindness and just show them love. You know, I don't know tonight if this gentleman is watching, but our paths crossed recently. It's been years. But the day our son was killed, there was a man that was a part of our life, came to our church. He was a general manager at one of the dealerships in town. And when he heard, I don't know how he heard, but he came to the hospital and then he came to the house. He took over our house. He said, you and Pastor Sharon, you don't have to do anything. I'm going to answer the phone. I'm going to do you take care of your family. He slept on the couch. See, I'll never forget that. He slept on the couch. I'll never forget that. Never forget him. He didn't go to work the next day. He probably lost money. I don't know. All I know is he said, I want to care. He made a difference in our life. God wants us to make a difference. Jesus made a difference in that widow's life when he stopped and got involved. Amen. You know, and when our son was killed, there was another gentleman there who was a doctor, but he was a big, tall guy. And sometimes on Sunday morning, he'd come in, and my wife would just go up to him, and he would just be kind to her and embrace her. He never said a word. For several years, he never would say a word. All he would do is just embrace her. Well, you know what? My wife sometimes would just put her head there on his chest and weep, and he wouldn't say a word. And she didn't say a word. But it brought healing to her just because he cared. Can you say amen? See, God wants us to care. God wants us to make a difference. Whose life are you making a difference in? It could be somebody at work. It could be somebody at work that you could literally change their life because you show a deed of kindness, you show love to. You know, when Jesus was traveling to Jerusalem. He went through Samaria. This was a shortcut from where Jesus was. It was a shortcut to go through Samaria. And we all know, reading the scriptures, that the Jews and the Samaritans didn't like each other. But Jesus went through Samaria anyway. He took the shortcut anyway. And he was sitting at a well. And when he was sitting at a well, this woman came up to him and they began to have a conversation. Jesus made a difference in a woman's life that had had five husbands. Are you listening today? See, Jesus came down from the crowd and he got involved individually. God wants you to come down from wherever you are and he wants you to get involved and let people know that Jesus Christ is alive in your heart and your life. Not just by your words, but by your actions. See, love is more than words. Love is action. Love is a decision. When people walk out of your life, I've had many, many people to walk out of my life. Does it hurt? Of course it hurts when people walk out of your life, when you've sown and you've sown and you've given and you've given. But you know what? Instead of letting that person that's walked out of my life cause me to build walls in my life and say, I'm not going to give again, I just start giving more. I just start saying next, please, because there's someone else that I can make a difference in their life. You know, I know people forget real soon. I understand that, just like at work. You know, just like at work, you know, people can get a pay raise and then they can get a bonus and they can be treated nice. And then something bad can happen, but all at once they forget the good that had happened. Let me tell you a little secret in church. pastor can sow and sow and sow, preach and preach and love and love and love and give and give and give. And people will say, oh, it's the greatest pastor in the world. The greatest pastor in the world. Oh, I love my pastor. I love my church. But one day when they don't get what they want, or one day when someone else comes along with a story that's not true and begins to tell a story that's not truth, all at once they get distracted and they forgot about how the pastor sowed and sowed and sowed and loved and loved and loved and gave and gave and gave and was kind and kind and kind, and how they said, oh, this is the greatest pastor, this is the greatest church. They forget. But you know what? The pastor, the man or woman of God, whoever it may be, they don't get discouraged. They don't give up. They don't quit. They just keep preaching the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And someone else can come in and get their cup filled up. See, this is about doing good no matter what someone else does. See, we don't react. We learn to act on the principles of God's word. We don't do what somebody else is doing. We do what God told us to do. Some people said, well, I don't serve man, I serve God. I do too, but I can't really serve God until I serve man. Now, you had a chance to say amen. See, you don't really serve God until you're serving man. See, how you treat man determines how you're serving God. I want to say it again. I know you heard me. But how you treat others is how you serve God. See, some people read the scripture, do unto others as they do to you. Treat others the way they treat you. You know what? That is not how the Bible says it. It says treat others the way you want to be treated. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. So, see, it's about every day getting up and serving someone else. You know, I personally have a vision to connect people to Christ, see people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why I appreciate the mission of this church so much. The mission of this church is not just to go out and witness to the lost, but the mission of the church is to do that, but also to help those people to come in and learn how to grow spiritually, to disciple them in the things of God. See, and you know what? That takes some of your time. The pastor can't disciple everybody. The staff can't disciple everybody. Everyone has to come up and do their part in helping disciple others. And then then we learn how to do life together. Oh, come on. You know, I've got friends that I've had for over 50 years. I really do. I've got good friends that I've had for over 50 years. Does that mean there's not ever been a problem? Oh, give me a break. How could that be? How could that be? But when the problems come, instead of wanting to cut my friends off, I want to work through the problem. I don't want to cut them off. Amen. I don't want to cut people out of my life because they don't always please me. I want to learn how to get through. So my vision and the vision of this church is to bring people to the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the goodness of God that leads men unto salvation. So we connect people by witnessing, by demonstrating kindness and love. And then we begin to grow spiritually. As we grow spiritually and as we get stronger in faith, then we can walk side by side. And as the scripture said, I believe it's Psalms 133 instead of Psalm 143. And it says, behold how good. See, it comes back to me. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious oil upon the head running down on the beard of Aaron, and running down of the edge of his garment. It's like the dew of Hermon. And I've talked about the dew of Hermon before. I think I've talked about it here. The dew of Hermon in that part of the world. The dew is so heavy. It is so heavy at night in that part of the world. It weighs the leaves down and they actually drip with the dew. It is so heavy. Well, when that oil, when we get in unity and it's that oil that's flowing, let me tell you something, we start changing things around us. Things start changing around us because we're doing what God told us to do. Winning people to Jesus, growing spiritually, and learning how to do life together. My wife and I was watching a reality show the other day, and it was a heartbreaking show of a young girl that didn't want to be obedient, and she wanted to live on the streets. She said, I want what I want, and I'm going to do what I want. And she didn't really care how much she was hurting the others to get what she wanted. You see, it's not so much what we want. It's what does God want? What does God want from you tonight? What does God want from you tonight? He wants you to love Him with all of your heart. And if you love God with all your heart, you can't help but love other people. Oh, I want to say it again. If you love God with all of your heart, if you love God with all of your heart, that's when you love people that's unlovely. See, don't forget what I said a few minutes ago, the scripture. James said, water from a fountain can't be bitter and it can't be sweet. It's either bitter or it's sweet. So our mouths, let's not say one thing when we're in church and then when we're out. Let's say something else. Let's let the good things come out of our mouth all the time. See, this is not something I'm just saying, but this is something that we should do. Did you know that you shouldn't come to church just for what you can get? Somebody said, well, I come to get fed. Well, you should. But at the same time, you should be wanting to share what you have been fed with to somebody else. See, you don't come to church just to get something, but you come to church to give just as much as you come to get. See, there's many ways, many different ways that we can serve. And think about this scripture. Jesus said in Matthew 20:28, He said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give His life as a ransom for many. You know, I'm really grateful for how God has blessed our life. I remember when we started in the ministry, I was so poor. I remember one time selling a mirror on my car to get gas to go where I was going. I was so poor. And the car was a junk. I remember times as our ministry began to grow. I remember sleeping in the car with two of our children, my wife and I. I remember sleeping in the car. I remember us eating at they don't have them here in this area anymore, but they was the little crystal hamburgers. They used to cost 10 cents, 12 cents. And I remember us, we were so glad to get the 12 cents. And I was preaching all over. But see, it wasn't about going somewhere to preach to get some money to pay my bills. It was going to help somebody, to minister to somebody, to tell somebody about the goodness of God. I remember in Charleston, West Virginia. We had a nice size tent, had a big tractor trailer, and we put up the whole, everything we was putting it up, but we didn't have any more money. We were totally out of money. We We slept in the trailer that night. We made beds and slept in the trailer that night because they didn't have any money for a hotel. We went to the gas station and we cleaned up in the gas station and nobody knew. But the meeting started and we were sleeping in the truck and cleaning up in the gas station. And a little while people started coming in, but then the money started coming in and we were able to rent a little apartment. But what if I'd have complained and been mad and angry and because I wasn't getting what somebody else was getting? See, it wasn't about what I could get, but it was about what I could give. And you know, I remember how God has blessed us. I look back and how God has blessed us. I don't have to sleep in the car. I don't have to sleep in the truck. I've slept in some of the nicest places in the world. Some, not the nicest, but some. And I'm grateful, but it didn't start out that way. It started out just serving the Lord and doing good. And God began to see that I'm not there for what I could get. I'm there for what I could give. Isn't it something how God will open a door? I remember once going into we were in Asia. And I wanted to do something that I'd never done before. Not to say that I was doing something that I'd never done before. But I remember I had my son to rent helicopters with good pilots. I said, you make sure you check these pilots out and make sure. And so we rented two helicopters and we prepared ahead of time. And we took the helicopters and we went into places where no Caucasian had ever been. I preached. People came to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we went into this one village. No electricity, no running water. All they had was little huts. And when I got there, I walked into the tribal chief's house. And the tribal chief's house was probably no more than a 10 by 14. That was the bedroom, the living room, the kitchen, the whole thing. A little thatch roof on it. And I remember walking in and they told me it was the tribal chief and his child had just died. Well, my heart was touched as I saw them there grieving over their baby lying on the little bamboo bed. And having lost a son, I could understand their grief. I didn't necessarily know exactly how they were grieving and could not feel their pain, but I understood the pain of loss. So I began to embrace them with kindness, and I began to embrace them with love. And it wasn't long till they began to listen to me, and I said, I don't know what you're going through, but I do know loss. And I began to tell them how our son was killed. And when I told them that I had a child that was killed, and they began to listen, then I began to tell them about the goodness of God and how God would comfort them and heal them where they hurt. They gave their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody in that village came to the Lord Jesus that day. Everybody in that village came to the Lord Jesus that day. Now, where they were, that baby's life could have been spared if they could have gotten some medicine and gotten to a doctor. But because of where they were, there was no inlet and outlet except for days, except the ocean, and they didn't have a boat. But I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, you've touched my heart and I want to make a difference in your village. Our ministry is going to buy you a boat. Our ministry is going to buy you a boat. I'm not talking about a little boat now. I'm talking about a good sized boat. And I said, I want you to take this boat and you will be able to get to a place where you need help and you can trade and you can do some things. But I want you to start using your boat to fish for the people here. And then I want you to sell some fish so you'll have some money. So they made the deal with me and my son made sure this all happened and we got this boat. Today, they have 9 boats. Today, they have a little church on their village. They have a pastor in their village. Can you say amen? Now, I'm not bragging on me, but I'm telling you one thing. You can make a difference. 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 Whose life have you touched today? Remember, I want to say it again as I try to close now. As I try to close this message. The way you serve God is the way you minister to other people. See, you can't just serve God on a vertical. It is vertical, but you have to do it horizontally. Because people's in our life to serve and to touch. You know, I was in the South Pacific. A few years ago, I was in the South Pacific. And my son come to me and he said, Dad, I got a call from the president's office and he wants you to come to his house. And I'm closing here, so would someone come up and give me just a little bit of music here? And I said, I don't really want to go to the president's house because I thought it was just going to be a photo op. And I really didn't care about a photo op. So they called the second time, and I still said no. I didn't want to go. And the third time they called, my son said, Dad, I think you really need to go. Well, I went. And I had the formal meeting with the president, and all the camera people were there, and the news people were there, and some of my staff was there. And the formalities was over, and I'd been told before, you can only touch the president on the arm or the shoulder, you can't touch his head, and told me all the things I could and couldn't do. And so after the meeting was over, the formal meeting was over and the news media was all gone, the president looked over at me and he said, would you stay for tea? Well, I saw a different look in his eyes and I said, well, yes. And so as I was there, I had prayed before I left and I said, Lord, I don't want to go just to be recognized in the newspaper that I had a meeting with a president, or I can show pictures around the world that I was with a president. And I looked at him and I said, sir, is there something in particular, some reason that I'm here that I could pray with you about? He said, oh, yes. That's why you're invited. He said, I wanted to get all the formalities away where it would just be you and me. He said, you see, my daughter came to your crusade. And she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And she speaks in them tongues. And he said, I want you to pray for me to get that too. I had already made a difference before I got there and didn't know it. His daughter's life had been touched. She went back and told her daddy. Her daddy then contacted me. And then he told me. He said, our country is ruled by 12 tribesmen. I'm one of the 12. Even though I'm the president, I'm one of the 12. And he said, we are very, we're territorial. We're very territorial, and we're very envious and jealous of each other. He said, I'm not, but he said, that's the way I've lived and the way we came up. And he said, I want you to pray that I could invite all the other tribesmen to my home. And he said, in the history of this nation, this has never happened. We come together, but it's in a neutral setting. But I want to invite them to my home. And the reason I want to invite them to my home, I want to tell them about Jesus Christ. I want to tell them that he'll touch their life the way he's touched my daughter and the way he's touching me. Well, I took his hand and we prayed. And of course, I went on with my meeting and I left the country. But I got emails from the president of how the first time in history all 12 tribesmen came together under his roof, and he got to witness to them about Jesus Christ. And several of them gave their hearts and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I have a standing invitation to go back to that country anytime I want to, with the support of the president of that country. I haven't gone back, but I haven't felt the leading of the Lord. See, here's a nobody from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I didn't know anybody, Charlie, when I started. But I just started doing what I could do right in my own neighborhood. Some of you have heard me tell how I got up in my window. We had an upstairs, and my room was upstairs. And I bought this little PA system, and I put the speaker in the window, and I began to preach to my neighborhood. And then when I got through preaching, I give the altar call and said, every one of you, and this was before air conditioning. So everybody was listening. It was in the summertime. If you want to receive Jesus as your Savior, get out of your house and come on down and stand in my front yard. And people from the neighborhood came from all over. I want to tell you something. Jesus will change your life, and you can change someone else's life. Do you want to be a life changer? Do you want to change somebody's life? Do you want to be a servant? Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your kindness. And I pray, Holy Spirit, right now that you'll touch every heart and life, those that are viewing at home, wherever they're viewing from, these that's in this room. I pray right now, Holy Spirit, touch their hearts, touch their lives. Speak to them now, I pray. While every head is bowed, is anybody in the room? Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or you're at home. You've never made Jesus Lord of your life. If you've never made Jesus Lord of your life, or maybe somewhere down the way you did accept Jesus in your heart and your life, but circumstances came along, and when the circumstances came along, disappointment or discouragement or something happened and you gave up and you quit walking with God. Now, your relationship with God is not right. Tonight's the night to make a difference, to make a change. And if you'd like me to pray with you and you've never had Jesus to be Lord of your life, or if you have, if I explain, if you want a prayer for Jesus to be Lord of your life, would you hold up your hand in this room? Anybody in this room? Is there anybody in this room? And I ever want to take for granted in a service that everybody is all right. Is there anybody in this room? Is there anybody in this room? Anybody in this room while I wait? Anybody at home? You might be at home and I don't know. I can't see your hand at home. But I want us all to raise our hands here in this room and let's all pray this prayer together. Because I don't want to take for granted. We may be leading someone to the Lord Jesus Christ at home. We don't know. You know, you just don't know. I had people watching our broadcast the other night from Vietnam. We had them watching from the Ukraine. We had them from way up in Canada. We had people from India. So you don't know. You just don't know. Let's pray this prayer. Dear Lord, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sin. Forgive me of my wrong. Jesus, I make you Lord and Savior of my life. From this moment on, I want to walk in your grace. I want to walk in your love. I want to walk in your mercy. I thank you, Lord, for giving me the power to overcome every disappointment,
every disappointment,
every hurt, every problem,
every problem,
and walk and live by faith.
And walk and live by faith.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. I hope somebody's been touched here tonight. I tell you what, I want to just, if you want to make a difference in somebody's life, I want you to stand on your feet. If you want to make a difference in somebody's life, I want you to just stand on your feet. You know, you can begin to pray. You know, I was in a grocery store the other day. I was in a store called Sprouts. And I was getting ready to, had a few little items on the belt. And there was a lady there, and she had a number of things. And they rang it up, and she said, oh, I don't have that much money. Let me take this back, and let me take this back, and let me take this back, and let me take this back. And there's quite a few items. And I looked and I said, no, lady, you don't need to take anything back. Just put it in your basket. And I told the cashier, I said, give me the whole bill. I want to pay the whole bill. I don't want to just have her to take it back, or I don't want to just pay part of the bill. Whatever you have, you most likely need. She said, yes, I'm a single parent. Who are you? I said, it doesn't matter who I am. Just know one thing, you met a servant of the Lord. See, there's always a way to serve. There's always a way to serve. Well, you know, if you'll pray and ask God, if you'll pray and ask God, you may be driving to work. You know, the other day, a few weeks ago, something happened in our family. Something happened in our family. My wife told me about it. And she said she was going to take care of this business. And she was heavy-hearted. But she was at Starbucks to get some coffee. And she said, I wasn't showing any signs of being heavy-hearted or anything. She said, but all at once, some gentleman beside me stepped up and said, I'm paying this lady's bill. She turned around and she said, I've got the money to pay for my coffee, sir. He said, well, lady, I don't know who you are, but the Lord told me to buy your coffee. She said, thank you. You see, just a little thing sometimes. Just a little thing sometimes. I don't know about you. I don't know about you. But I believe, knowing what happened yesterday with losing this judge, and knowing what could happen in our world and the elections that's coming, I know what kind of turmoil, I don't know to the extreme, but I know the turmoil that it can cause. But I know by us, if we will do our part, we can outdo what's happening in Washington. We can bring change in Washington because we're changing it at this level. Do you want to be a life changer? Now, I could have you come down here. I could lay hands on you. I could pray for you that way. You that at home, you that are still with us. Father, I pray. I pray over every person tonight that I have spoken to, whether it's in this particular auditorium or the home, wherever they may be. And precious Pastor Bob Nichols and Joy and Janet. I pray, Holy Spirit, that as we rise up from this meeting, and that we take our next steps, that you will order our steps to be a servant. Jesus, you said, I read the scripture. You didn't come to be served, but you came to serve. Help us, Lord, to take your gospel and be givers of your kindness, your love, your mercy, and your goodness. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Find somebody before you sit down. Find somebody that you don't know that well and just go over and give them a handshake, a hug, or something. Would you do that? Just move around just a little bit. Find somebody you don't normally go to and just smile at them real big and give them a hug or shake hands or come on, tell them.